You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you're challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series, 40 Days with James, now looking at James the Prophet. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Want to win a chance for a free tour of Israel? From March 1st to June 8th, Douglas's new website subscribers have the chance to be entered into a draw for a free tour. There are two ways to win. You can become a new website member or ask a friend to sign up. Then email confirmation of the subscriptions by replying to Douglas's newsletter. There's no limit to the number of entries. Sign up 5 friends, be entered 5 times. The winner will be announced in early July. Now here's today's teaching.
This is day 37 of our series, 40 Days with James. And in the next 3 reflections, I want us to think about James, first as a prophet, and that's what I'll focus on today, and then as a peacemaker, and then as a martyr. And I wanted to illustrate James's prophetic attitude with 10 quotations from the letter that I've selected from the New American Bible. So, James is a pillar of the church, Jerusalem church, that is, according to Paul in Galatians 2. He's the brother of the Lord. He's a highly respected leader, but he also speaks prophetically, his tongue dipped in the white-hot fire of God's justice and righteous indignation. So as I read these words, try to feel, to absorb the strength, the conviction, and the vehemence of these words. Listen closely. And let the message, direct and challenging, sink in. The one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways. The brother in lowly circumstances should take pride in his high standing, and the rich one in his lowliness, for he will pass away like the flower of the field. For the sun comes up with its scorching heat and dries up the grass. Its flower droops, and the beauty of its appearance vanishes. So will the rich person fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. If anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, his religion is useless. You believe that God is one? You do well, even the demons believe that and tremble. Do you want proof, you ignoramus, that faith without works is useless? You ask but do not receive, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Adulterers, do you not know that to be a lover of the world means enmity with God? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you of two minds. Begin to lament, to mourn, to weep. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save or to destroy. Who then are you to judge your neighbor? You have no idea what your life will be like tomorrow. You're a puff of smoke that appears briefly and then disappears. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills it, we shall live to do this or that. But now you are boasting in your arrogance. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. Well, I hope you appreciate those selections. Instead of just reading the entire letter again, I picked out 10 portions that I think illustrate his directness, his frankness, the simplicity, sincerity of speech as he speaks for God. He speaks for his brother, for Jesus Christ. In preparing all the reflections in this series, I've done a lot of work, not just reading James, but reading three commentaries on James recently, and certainly have got a lot out of it, and have probably become even more aware of the political and socioeconomic background, which is so important to appreciate if we're going to get the message. Now, I wrote a book in the mid-90s, Life to the Full. It's on the letters of James, Peter, John, and Jude. And yes, I've mentioned a number of these things and my comments on the six chapters devoted to James. I don't take that back. However, I think I was only seeing down just a few inches into this incredible pool, this reservoir of inspired Word of God. Now, maybe I'm seeing down a few feet, much deeper than before, but I suspect I have far to go. And when I come back and do a big study of James again in a few years, I'll think that what has been done this year is shallow. But isn't that the way it is with our Bible study? If we keep studying, that is. The more we read, the more we realize how little we really know. And a humble response is to keep on studying. It's not to say, well, I'll leave it to the experts. No, it's to push ourselves, because disciple means student. And if we are pupils of Jesus Christ, we'll keep learning. Well, before I end with a few questions for you and me, I wanted to read from one of the commentators who I think is just brilliant in his insight. And he speaks of the social conscience of James. Now, please listen to Ralph Martin. "No New Testament document has such a socially sensitized conscience and so explicitly champions the cause of the economically disadvantaged, the victims of oppression or unjust wage agreements, and the poor who are seen in the widows and orphans who have no legal defender to speak up for their rights. The rich merchants and luxury-loving agricultural magnates are held up to a withering and scornful reproach. Not only are their practices condemned as part of their profound attitude that forgets God and boasts in proud achievement, their treatment of the workers and the needy is just as forthrightly exposed. And to cap it all, James directs his shafts not simply at their amassing of wealth, nor even at the wealth itself, represented in the grain and the gold and the garments that were their trademark, which is doomed to be blighted. The rich people themselves will share the fate of their possessions. This indictment marks one of the Bible's most thoroughgoing judgments on wealth and its possessors." So, how about you and me? When do we get indignant? Is it when our rights are infringed? Is it when someone fails to give us credit, or slights us, or cuts in front of us in traffic? Is it when we're not happy with the service we've received from one company or another? When we feel disrespected by a child or parent or spouse? When do we get indignant? Is it when our rights are infringed, or when we see the powerful taking advantage of the powerless? Another question: are we avoiding the passages, the parts of the Bible that would challenge our social conscience? That is, are we regularly reading the prophets? Of course, Isaiah is the longest of the prophets, and I could argue the most important, because 90% of the quotations from the Old Testament prophets in the New Testament are from Isaiah. Yes, you'll find Jeremiah as well and the others, but 90% are from Isaiah. That's one reason for which in 2021, I made the New Year's series from Isaiah. But are we studying those passages? Are we breathing in their spirit? Are we appreciating God's heart, his relationship to his people. And we see that not just in Isaiah, we see it in Jeremiah, we see it in Hosea, actually all the prophets, but they're all different. And because they have different angles of approach, different personalities, I think we really need all of them to get a well-rounded picture of God's prophets as they call us back to the Word of God. And let me recommend again a wonderful book called The Prophets by Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel. And if you've never read that, I think you would really enjoy it. It's easy to read. It covers many of the prophets. And I was tempted to use some, to actually, I have some of my favorite quotations are in Heschel, but you'll find them if you read. Right. And then last, are we speaking up? And maybe that means speaking up to those who are doing the teaching and preaching, demanding that we give time to all Scripture, because all Scripture is inspired. Maybe this is speaking up to your boss at work. Or maybe you see a comrade in work, a colleague who is not treating others with fairness. Are we speaking up? What are we doing? Are we willing to put our money where our mouth is? Are we willing to give of our income or our resources to help the needy, the powerless? So speaking up and giving, we can't just listen to a talk on prophetic social conscience. We can't just read the letter of James and say that that was jolly good and leave it at that. What's changing? Well, my friends, in our next reflection, we'll be looking at James as peacemaker. For now, we pray, Lord, thank you for this amazing man of God, whom we respect, whom we can follow to the extent that he follows Jesus Christ. Thank you for his sensitive conscience, his plain speaking, for his courage in life as in death. In your Son's name, we utter this prayer. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's teaching on 40 Days with James. For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.